from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, welcome back. Hour number 2, Jeremy Con Ed Norris here with you. Rob Long is off. Talking a little Ravens here. We'll get back into the Orioles. Brandon Hyde's late inning moves. I had somebody send me their thoughts on it. I'd like to get your take on it as well. And I definitely saw some of the guys here at the station, fans that have chimed in on this and a little upset at some of the things going on with the Orioles. But we'll get to that a little bit later. Now, John Harbaugh downplayed the injury to Rashad Bateman, whether or not it's serious. They signed Russell Gage. Let me say this. If I remember correctly, wasn't Russell Gage on the Vikings last year, and he got hurt and never played the whole season, so we haven't seen him. But when he was with the Falcons, he was a solid player. I think he even spent some time in Tampa, didn't he, Russell Gage?
I don't remember.
Yeah, so like they're...
He did. He had 5 touchdown catches in 2022.
Okay, so but he was with Minnesota last year?
He was out all of last year with a patella injury.
Did he sign with the Vikings before that?
He didn't play at all. I know that.
Yeah. So I think it was the Vikings that he was just got hurt and never played. So don't know what to think of him now coming off of an injury. But, you know, anytime we look at these athletes, we expect them to look like themselves before the injury. Now, what do you think about this? Do you think there's anything to be worried about with Rashad Bateman? And let me just temper expectations with some people, because I see a lot of people going, why aren't the Ravens in on Brandon Ayuk? It's incredibly difficult to trade for him. Plus, he wants a contract extension. So just that's not happening, in my opinion. I don't even know. Like, it feels like he's getting traded, but it's not going to be here. I've heard the Steelers and Browns are trying to put on the full court press as well as the Patriots. But as far as Patriots are out now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're out. It's the Browns and Steelers now.
So they got Kendrick Bourne. That's great.
Yeah.
Good luck, Pats fans. I hope you guys lose.
They were going to pay him $30 million a year. They were going to give him the best contract of anybody. And Ayuk said he doesn't want to go to New England.
But I said that yesterday.
We talked about this, yeah.
I said exactly that. He's not going to happen. He's not going to go there. Why would you go there?
If you go there, it's about money.
That's it.
And he didn't want their money. Also, Russell Gage, always with Tampa. He never went to Minnesota, no.
Was he with Atlanta before that?
Atlanta, Tampa. Tore his patella tendon in August of 2023, then missed all that, was released after the season.
Okay. For some reason, I thought he signed with another team and got hurt. But okay. When you look at Russell Gage, though, fourth, fifth receiver, I don't think it's anything that's going to put you over the top. I think this is more of a precautionary thing and adding some depth. I think it's a good sign in getting a vet receiver in here. That if you have to use, you're not going to have a problem with it. But the injury to Bateman, because this is something we've been talking about so much, Ed, about like how important this guy could be this year. There are a lot of people that are down on him.
Bateman?
Bateman, yeah. Like everybody you're talking to, we had Todd on last week, and he was just like, hey, Bateman looks awesome. And we've all been waiting for it. There's been a lot of injuries. And if you talk to anybody in the fantasy community, they're like, stop bringing up Bateman. You guys say at the beginning of every year, keep your eye on him. Great. I'll watch him with his 400 yards and touchdown. I did say touchdown, not multiple. You know, like, we'll have to see, like, if he stays healthy. But you can't deny that he has some serious athleticism. We saw that on that slant route that he took to the house. But why not use him more? I think that's the big question. Are you concerned about this Bateman injury at all?
Yes, very. I'm concerned. I'd be more concerned with Zay. Mm-hmm. I don't think Lamar has a relationship with Bateman, honestly, for whatever reason. I don't know if he has no faith in him, that he doesn't, you know, be too many drops, he doesn't feel comfortable. I don't know what it is. Just my eyes telling me this. Now I'm concerned with the injury because every time, not every time, but many times we've heard minor injuries, you know, Rashad Perriman, you know, and they end up being season ending. And the other issue is Russell Gage is not the answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're making fun of the lone touchdown. Well, look at his stats.
Yeah.
This is a guy, he's, you know, I grant that he's on the team, but he's only on the Buccaneers for one season. You know, so it's like, he's most of the times with the Falcons.
So when he was there, that was Tom Brady, right?
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, because Baker would have...
Well, my point was going to be more that it was Mike Evans. You know,
well, no.
So he's not going to get a lot of, you know, targets because he's better against Godwin and Evans and there's other people there.
Yeah, but like he's that solid third or fourth receiver.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And, you know, like if you're looking at his best season, he had 72 receptions for 786 yards and four TDs. Mm-hmm. He did have five touchdowns in 2022, but I would say, like Ed's talking about, all the different weapons you have there and routes that you can take, I think that's something where you look at a player like him, he's probably going to feast on the matchups because there's so much attention paid to the other guys.
Yeah, your tight ends and your, you know, the other receiver.
And by the way, that could be, it sounds weird saying it, that could be the same thing here. You have two of the better tight ends in the league. You have one of the, you know, I don't know where Zay Flowers fits in the grand scheme of things of wide receivers in this league. If he starts doing like Amon-Ra St. Brown type things, you're going to see him jump up there. But
I think he's very valuable.
I do too. And but again, like I don't know where to put him. If you ask me to name my top 20 receivers, I don't know that Zay shows up yet. But he's close, you know. So and that's something you can really work with. It, like every team's looking for a number one. There are a couple of teams that have two number ones on their team. Yeah. It's not often that you see that. But the Cincinnati 49ers. Bengals, did. 49ers, yeah. So. Look, I'm not upset about the Gage signing. You hope it's not a move just because of Bateman and they're not downplaying his injury. But if it is something that ends up being serious, which it doesn't sound like, but if it does, then I think that's a nice piece to have.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure it's because of the injury. I think they would have looked for somebody else anyway because I don't know if they're so sure about him. I just don't.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people say, I can't believe they gave him a 3-year deal. You got him on the cheap, man. If you look at what wide receivers are making, and I understand you can sit here and say he hasn't put up, but he definitely has the talent to do so. And to get him for, what, $15 million over 3 years? Go look at what wide receivers are making.
I know.
They were just talking about giving Ayuk $30 million a year.
Yeah.
So
they still have Aguilar, who I think is underrated here. I think he's very steady. He's good hands, a lot of high-pressure experience, too. I just think he's good. I think Zay's a true number one. Gage is good. I mean, he'll be fine. But I'm worried about the Bateman injury.
Yeah, I get it, man. And it's another thing where before the season, you don't want to talk about injuries. The only thing I say about training camp, the only thing that matters is you get through it as healthy as you can.
Yeah.
And then the weird thing in the NFL, when injuries happen, it seems like it happens to an entire room. Like
it's happened, whole running back room here a couple years ago. Yeah. It just does happen.
Cornerback room, we've seen that happen. Yeah. So, and then again with the Ravens, they're a little light in the pass rushing department, in my opinion. I know they're expecting Oweh to take a big step forward, but God forbid something happened. I'm knocking on wood to one of those guys too.
I know.
But that's as much as we talk about it, I think it's every team. I've talked so much. I've been doing so many national shows here, especially over the summer, that when you start talking about these other teams, they're doing the same thing. They're like, is this guy good enough? The only team that's not doing it is the Chiefs because they just keep winning. Like, Cincinnati has questions. Like, can we make this work?
Is our defense going to hold up?
Yeah. And then they lost one of their best defenders, was it 2 days ago? So, yeah. And then the Steelers are trying to figure out who their quarterback's going to be, the guy that can't poop or the guy that, Chicago.
He can. He won't.
Oh, he won't poop. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. Here's what we got to do. We're going to talk some more Orioles at 7:30. So, don't think we're shying away from all the different things going on with Brandon Hyde and the decision making. We will talk about it. But up next, we get into a Commissioner's Baltimore. What are we going to talk about, Ed?
Well, you talk about him not wanting him. Ayuk not wanting to go to New England. So I'm going to talk a little bit about where you'd like to go if you could. There's a list came out about the most desirable cities to live in the U.S. We'll tell you where Baltimore fits.
All right. We're going to do that next in the Commissioner's Baltimore right here on The Fan. All right. Here we are. It's time for Commissioner's Baltimore. Ed, let's talk about some of these cities.
Yeah, let's do that because one of the things I always – bring it up and some guys poo-poo it because I think it's real. But sometimes, you know, people make fun of me like, oh, athletes don't care where they live. Really? You're going to have a career of like, I don't know, say you're placing with for 10 years. You want to spend 10 years in Buffalo, New York, or Green Bay, Wisconsin, or Tampa, Florida, or San Diego? Well, there's no one football in San Diego. Whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just better quality of life in different places. And there's a list that just came out. This is actually today. It says Denver is the prettiest city in the country. Detroit is the ugliest, by the way. Best food, New York, New Orleans, San Francisco. No surprise there. And that's the most desirable U.S. cities to live in 2024. 10 is Miami. You can keep Miami. 9 is Las Vegas. A lot of reasons to live in Vegas. It's the cost of living is low. Tax. It's just weather is nice. Denver, right?
Yeah.
Atlanta made the list. Number 7, Raleigh, North Carolina. And I've just been down to see my son. I get it.
Yeah, like we were talking about, if you want to look at the reason why there's probably a couple places in Carolina on here, is that how cheap it is to live and mm-hmm. then all the things that you're accessible to.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is. Number 5 is Orlando, Florida. 4 is Nashville, Tennessee. Seems like everyone's into Nashville now. 3 is Virginia Beach. That's in Virginia. 2 is Charlotte, North Carolina. And 1, most desirable city in the U.S. to live, Tampa, Florida.
Ugh.
Love it.
So for me, I wouldn't want to live in Florida. I think the place is just badass crazy. But I'm not, I worry about the hurricane stuff, which I know you're dealing with and tropical storms.
I showed you the videos of water up to the car, the car windows.
Not that Oklahoma's appealing, but I don't want to go there for tornadoes.
You know? I'd rather have hurricanes. You know they're coming.
Yeah.
Tornadoes just pop up.
Out of the blue. Like on this list, the places that I like are going to be vastly different from most. I love Nashville. I don't know that I'd want to live there. It does look like a really nice place. The people are really friendly. Great food. Great scenes.
I don't get it. I liked it well enough. I haven't been there in a while. I know it's built up since I've been there. It's very, people are friendly. It's a nice place. I don't know if I'd ever want to live there.
I think I've been there 4 times now.
Really?
Yeah. I like just different. I went there on a guy's trip. That's when my buddy... My little buddy Wang, that's his nickname. He showed up and crashed our trip, which we invited him. So I don't want to make it seem like he just said, come on out to this trip. And he came out. And as soon as he got there, we were doing this thing where it's like you're behind one, right? So we would take 2 shots and throw them back while you were doing one, go you're behind one. So we had Wang, who's probably about, I don't know, maybe 150 pounds, wet and wearing boots. And he did like 7 shots. We were in an Uber and he tried to open the door at 40 miles an hour and get out. He was taking a piss in a garage, and then when he came out of the line, we were at Hattie B's going to get hot chicken, and everybody, I'm so mad nobody recorded this. I started singing Lean On Me because he was leaning, and then my buddy Larry got into it, and then we all started singing.
Really?
Then the whole effing line started singing Lean On Me. One of the coolest moments ever, and no, this idiot didn't think about taking his phone out. I mean, I was half in the bag, too.
Right.
That's why we're Ubering everywhere, but... You know, like those places, Las Vegas is fun, but I think that would be too much for me. You know, I could see living there.
But you live on the outskirts, though. I talk to people. Every time I go, I'll talk to the cab drivers or dealers and stuff, and they don't live in Vegas, most of them. They live outside, and it's, again, property values are lower, mm-hmm. the prices are lower, taxes. I mean, it's a lot of, and the weather. I mean, it's all, if you look at this list, it's mostly southern cities, except for Denver, I guess. So Nashville's technically in the south, but, they're all in the south, actually, except for Colorado and Nevada. So, but, I mean, it's 3 Florida cities, Miami, Orlando, and Tampa. 2 North Carolina cities with Charlotte and Raleigh. Virginia Beach, Nashville, Atlanta. I think a lot of people, the country, I'm splitting the atom here. We know what's happening. People are moving to these places now. Mm-hmm. They're moving to,
Well, they call Nashville Nash Vegas.
Yeah.
It's the fastest growing city in the U.S.
Yeah. And Florida's getting, I heard, 1,000 new residents a day in the state because, there's no state tax, the weather, the politics. There's a lot of things people like about it. If you like it, then they're going there. And I think that's what's happening.
So there's a couple things for me, too. Like, I went to San Antonio, loved it there. I love New Orleans because it feels like a dirtier Baltimore, and that just feels like home to me.
Yeah.
I don't like... I don't know if people agree with me. Like it,
it's very similar to Baltimore.
It feels very dirty there, but like the food's good. There's all kinds of cool places to go. I love that city.
If you looked at the streets here.
Well, I'm just, I live here, so I'm going to call that place dirtier than this one. But that's
by the way, Baltimore did not make the list. I was kidding on the tease.
Oh. But no, like I know I'm different than most people because I do like cold weather. Where some, I love Colorado. And I bet you, Ed, when I go out to San Francisco, I'm going to love it there.
You will.
Because like the, you were telling me, what was it, the coldest?
Coldest place coldest place I've ever been is San Francisco in the summer.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking, and I know you guys made fun of me because of what I bought. I promise you, if you don't take one of your signature hoodies, you'll be sorry.
Oh, I'm taking
guarantee.
One.
Guarantee. Because I was out there, I was dating my ex-wife, and I'd never been there. Well, not such. I was there with my... The years before, I would see the Giants and the A's play at one point. But walking to San Francisco in the summer, and all of a sudden, the fog rolls in, and I am freezing. And the vinyl leather jacket for both of us. We were so cold. It was just, and that was like summertime.
See, and my wife was talking to me last night about this. Well, what are you going to pack? Make sure you're packing something. I said, I'll bring a hoodie. She goes, you're not going to bring pants? I said, I'll have a pair of pants. But more than likely, the people that are cold in San Francisco, it's probably going to feel just right to me. I'll have my hoodie and shorts.
Yeah,
and
you still need the hoodie, though. Yeah.
No, I'm not doubting that. Yeah. I'm not saying like, oh, I'm tough. I went to Iceland and I didn't. All I took were my hoodies. The place is called Iceland, and I didn't even take a jacket. I just took hoodies.
Yeah, and I like the cold too. It's the only thing I do miss in my Florida life. Mm-hmm. I do miss cold. I like cold weather.
Well, good. Yeah, you like it because you get the dress and all the other stuff. Yeah, I like it because
it's absolutely true.
I love cold weather. I just like the way
I like clothes. Yeah.
But
I hate the way we dress now when we work in the summer. I hate it.
So
hate it. T-shirts and shorts every day.
Let me ask you and take Tampa out of it.
Mm-hmm.
A place you'd love to live, a place you'd never live or you'd never want to live.
Never want to live. Oh boy. probably up in Western New York.
Yeah.
Like Buffalo, Rochester.
Because it's out in bum whatever.
We say we like the cold. It's so ungodly cold up there. And the problem is up there in those places, it's dangerous cold.
Yeah. I don't want that.
I don't want that because people have died in blizzards up there. I went to college up there. I experienced it firsthand. And I was like, I almost became a police officer in Rochester because I was leaving college anyway. And I decided against it because of the weather. I said, I can't live in this place. It's gray constantly. And there's more than that. It's gray all the time. And people don't realize New York State is like that because they always think, snowiest places, campuses, University of Michigan, Wisconsin. Syracuse, New York, number one, my friends. That's the snowiest campus in America. So I don't want to live up there anymore. Where I would want to live?
Ever been to Alaska?
I have not.
It's interesting. Like, that's another place where when you think about the weather and how it is, I know there's certain parts that are very livable and people love it there, but there's got to be some god-awful spots in Alaska, too, just
that's
to
huge,
year-round. Yeah. But for me, I've told you, like, I don't want to live in a place that's just hot year-round. I don't. Mm-hmm. Like, so Florida's out for me.
Well, see, that's why I like where I am. I don't want to cut you off there, but it's like, it's not Miami. Like, in the winter there... You're wearing a coat. Mm-hmm. You're wearing, at least a hoodie. Probably a jacket. It's cold. It's, it gets down to 40s and stuff. It doesn't get crazy like it's 17 degrees, though.
The place that I think I could live the most of the place I visited, I really did like San Antonio a lot. It just...
I've heard good things about it.
It's so funny. The food's so cheap. You have the Riverwalk. Everything is within distance, and the people were just kind, man. They were just really nice, no matter... Oh, what are you looking for? You're from out of town? Here, just go down this way. I'd probably have Spurs season tickets and sit down there and go watch that freak Wembanyama play.
And I'm convinced it's because of the weather in these places. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be culture and upbringing and stuff, but I think it's the weather a lot because I'll leave Florida. I'll be in Tampa or whatever, or Sarasota. The people at the airport are nice. I mean, friendly. How are you? How are you doing today? And it's just like, the toll taker. There's one guy that dances literally in the booth as you're going to St. Pete to go to the beach. Yes.
Music playing?
Yes. Music playing. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. He's doing a dance. How are you doing? I get off the plane to come here.
You go through his toll every time, don't you?
I try.
Yes. Try to find him.
Yeah. But you get here and people grunt at you. You pay your parking.
And
it's like, everybody looks like they just got back from Iraq. And I'm convinced it's because of the living conditions.
Yeah, and some of the people, too, you have to look at the tax situation in the states that they're going to, mm-hmm. where Florida's great. You mentioned Nevada's great. There's a couple other ones. But Yeah, it's an interesting list of where people would want to go, and now I know how odd I am because I don't want to go to any of the places they want to go.
After like coming back from Raleigh, I could live there.
I loved Colorado too.
Yeah, I like North Carolina, and I went to, you know, visit my son. I'm like, man, you did good. He's right by UNC. It's just beautiful. Did you see the Coastal Carolina move their operations to UNC because of the storm?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Because they're going to get, you know, they expect like 30 inches of rain.
A lot of stuff going on. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We got the World of Stupid coming up at 8:15. We're going to get into Shovels coming up a little bit later at 7:45. But up next, we're going to get your reaction to Brandon Hyde's late inning moves. I want to hear from you guys. 410-583-1057. Got some messages on Twitter as well. We'll get into all that right here on 105.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, welcome back. I'm going to talk about Brandon Hyde's decisions last night, some of the late-inning moves. People frustrated about Gregory Soto as he hasn't looked good. People more upset about the pinch hitting. And if you missed it last night, you had at the bottom of the lineup, Jackson Holliday was coming up, one of the hottest hitters on the team. He'd already hit a home run in the game. Got a lefty-lefty matchup, so he pinch hits for him, and he brings in Austin Slater. I have no problem with Austin Slater pinch hitting for a left-hander. I just don't know that I would have done that there. And I'll say this much, too. At some point, you're going to have to look at these young stars and find out if they're everyday players or not. Colton Cowser might win Rookie of the Year, and if Jackson Holliday had played long enough or had the opportunity, maybe he doesn't play long enough, and next year, like, he would be one of the front runners for Rookie of the Year. So you have all this talent. At some point, they have to become everyday players. So you pinch hit for him with Austin Slater. You let Ramon hit, and then you pitch hit Colton Cowser for Coby Mayo, who doesn't have a hit on the year. And that doesn't...
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything that he couldn't get a hit in that situation. Yeah. It's just, it's kind of... It's an easy way to attack him on this.
I always go back to what was Cal's at bats when he came up. Then was he hitless like this?
Yeah, he had a
long streak when he came into the majors.
Yeah, so like all these things, I think matter. But I want to hear from some fans. I know people are upset. Let's go to Josh in Severn. He wants to talk about Hyde. What's up, Josh?
Hey guys, how's it going this morning?
Good.
Hey, so I'm glad you're bringing up the late inning stuff, but my bigger problem is bringing in Soto, and then, okay, you bring him in, he gets shelled, he faces his 3-batter minimum, and then you just kind of wave the white flag and go, oh, we're down now, I guess the game's over, we'll leave him in. He gave up 5 runs with 2 outs. So I've seen Hyde do this so many times this year where he'll bring in a guy and just wave the white flag. How many times did we see Cole Irvin come in when we're only down 2 runs and he gives up 6 runs? Like, Hyde will just give up in the middle of these, like the middle of these games, and bring in like the back, like the bottom end of his bullpen to just get shelled. And then like you get into the late innings, it's like, oh, we have a rally, we could come back. It's like, yeah, but we're down 5 runs or 3 runs now because he just gave up in the middle of the inning.
Yeah. And look, going back to some of the things, and Josh, appreciate the phone call. I think Josh hits the nail on the head. There's a lot of things you can look at here. I don't think this is a situation where everyone's just being knee-jerk reaction over, oh my God, he went lefty-righty here, and he did that. Because, and I wonder, too, and hear me out on this, Ed. So you pinch hit for Jackson Holliday. If you don't pinch hit for Colton Cowser, what does that look like? Because then you're not playing the matchups. You're not being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the feel comes in for the game. But I'll go back and I'll keep saying this till I'm blue in the face. At some point, these guys have to become everyday players. We're not doing this with Jordan Westberg. He's facing right-handed pitching. We didn't do this with Gunner. He faced left-handed pitching. And then, you know, when you give Gunner a day off, it's probably going to be against a tough lefty or somebody doesn't hit, like Andrew Haney, when we saw that in Texas, where they tried to give him a day off and it didn't happen. But, you know, like, everybody wants to blame Hyde for everything, and I don't think that's fair at all. But you are going to take criticism when you do something like this and it doesn't work out.
Well, it doesn't work out.
It's and
like,
I understand.
You always talk about that. It's like going, you know, 4th and 3 or whatever, and you convert. You look like a genius.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. Like, how could you be so stupid?
Yeah. Well, I always bring up the 3rd and 8 draw play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've seen it work, and you're like, oh, yeah. My God, how'd the defense let that happen? And then you see a team run it, and you're like, they got 2 yards on a draw, but you needed 8 yards. Why aren't you throwing it, you stupid idiots?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what happens here with Hyde now, too. Let's go out and grab another phone caller. Albert's in Annapolis. What's up, Albert?
Hey, I was just calling in reference to what you've been discussing about Brandon Hyde's decision. Leave your best players in. I mean, Jackson Holliday's bat was hot. Keep him in. We need points.
Well, yeah, and I get that, Albert, but the other thing is, he's going to play the lefty-righty matchups because that's what the book is telling you to do, or that's what he's done. It's analytically speaking, and people don't understand this. I get pinch hitting for a left-handed bat with a right-handed bat. I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it there with Jackson Holliday and Colton Cowser. And I said this before it happened. When I'm watching it, I'm going, God, I hope this works out for him because I know what tomorrow is going to be like.
Yes.
And sure enough, reading all this stuff on social media, you're like, damn. He's getting killed today. Appreciate the
text call. Exchanges were like that.
Yeah, and then I had somebody, I want to read this real quick, somebody that tweeted at me. It's a big difference when pinch hitting to Adley, O'Hearn, and Westberg in the game and pinch hitting Slater for Holliday, who's swinging a hot bat, or Mayo, who doesn't have a hit in the big leagues. Hyde needs to go, plain and simple. He was the best manager for a 100-loss team, but he can't handle the decisions on a team who is in first place. He's constantly changing the lineup, giving these young guys opportunities to get into a groove, or not giving these young guys opportunity to get in a groove, and he just sucks at bullpen management. This is where I think it's a little unfair from Jonathan here. And, you know, like, we're going to criticize. There's 162 games. I know people are tired of hearing me say this. We're going to criticize him when things don't work out. And there are some times where he's got to push buttons, and it's the only guys they have. People always complain about pitchers coming out too early, and you don't know what the numbers are telling you about a third time through the lineup or how these guys have looked. They're looking at matchups and different things. They have all the numbers there, and the numbers that he had were telling him to make these moves. Even in that situation, I'm okay with anybody being fully analytical, right? And looking at what the odds are telling you. If there's a 60% chance your guy gets a hit, there's a 40% chance he doesn't. You know, and I'm not saying that's what it was last night. But the fact of the matter is, like, there are certain times you're going to look at the game and you're going to go, I got to have a feel for this. I got to let my guy hit against a lefty. And you know what? If these guys are going to get better, and if you expect Jackson Holliday to become an everyday player, let him bat against lefties. Like, I don't... I'm not knocking Austin for coming in or any of the guys, like even Kobe Mayo. I get it. But in that situation right there, it's two of your hottest hitters. And these are guys you expect to be everyday players. That's what I can't get past. Ramon's up there and a right-hander comes up and you want to pinch hit Austin Slater or somebody for him. I'm listening to you. Like even Ryan O'Hearn, I'm listening to you if you pinch hit for him and bring in a right-handed bat. But that wasn't the situation. We had two young players that are currently hitting the hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
Leave them in the game.
Yeah. Then I said to say, but damn you lefty-righty stuff. Hot is hot. Guys are swinging. They're seeing the ball. Because usually when you're really hitting well, you're seeing the ball really well. You know, it's like it looks like a beach ball coming in, according to the players that you talk to. It's like it just looks different. I mean, it worked out. The pinch hitter drew a walk, but it's not what I wanted to see.
Yeah, I think Slater's a lot better than people want to give him credit for, but you only want him in there against left-handed pitching. Yeah. Or as a defensive replacement if you... I mean, we'd have to look at... see who's who. And I just saw... just saw a meme that hottest hitters in the lineup, Brandon Hyde looking over at the lefty versus righty splits and diving into it. Here, I'll show you the picture because I'm not going to tell you what it is. Ed, you can read that for yourself. But anyway, we've got some other fun stuff coming up. Arthur Millett, I got World of Stupid at 8:15, but Arthur Millett goes down with a non-season-ending injury. How big of a loss is this to the secondary? We've talked about some depth at cornerback and what they have. I want to hear from you. 410-583-1057 right here on the Fan.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota. And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, it's time for shovels. You want to give one? 410-583-1057. Ed, who's getting your shovel?
A museum curator. This is one of the... I for the life of me, will not understand why people collect these things. I don't even understand why people collect some sports memorabilia. Because I wouldn't pay... even if I had the money, I wouldn't pay $5 million for a baseball card. It seems obscene. You should be ashamed of yourself. Give it to charity or something. There's a museum called... It's a true crime museum. Mm-hmm. The guy's name is Joel Griggs, who is the curator. I don't know if you remember this, but you were into these crime stories and serial killers. And I don't know if you remember Rose West and her husband. In 1994, they were caught for killing women. They did it together. And he dismembered and buried them in their own home.
It was in England, Jerry.
Yeah, it was in England. Okay. Yes.
You probably know this one.
Yeah, I think you do, because you follow this stuff, and you're probably familiar with it.
I'm just not familiar with the name. I'm trying to remember the story.
Fred and Rosemary
West.
Oh,
Fred? Yeah. You didn't say it was Fred.
I'm just saying, this one's pretty well known, because in England, it's one of the most heinous crimes of in English history.
In the place that had Jack the Ripper, yes.
Yeah. Like, that's insane.
Well, anyway, you know what's on display in the museum now?
What?
Rose's underwear. Somebody in prison snatched a pair, sold them to him, and they're hanging in the museum. These dirty old lady knickers that she was wearing are on display. I'm like, what is what? Why?
Yeah, that stuff too, like what people are interested in seeing in museums. And like, I know it's history and certain things, but like, I feel like some things are celebrated way too much.
This is one of them, man.
It's weird.
This couple tortured and killed at least 10 women. Mm. I mean,
I got to look this up, because I know this story.
You definitely know.
It's Fred and Rosemary?
Yes.
Or is it Rosemary, since it's England?
It's Rosemary, whatever. Rose West. But yeah, and like, you really want to do this? And then he looked, there's little stains on the underwear. He was going to cut around them to sell them off bit by bit.
Oh, and you know what's sad? Somebody would buy those.
100%.
Oh,
he
my
did.
God, that's disgusting, yeah. Man.
Disgusting story.
Yeah, man. And you like look at some of these stories with how celebrated. Like, I love reading about serial killers, which creeps out everybody when I talk to them about it. I don't read about anything else except that. And watch these history shows and all this stuff on world's worst killers and crimes and stuff. I don't know why I'm so interested in it, but I am. And then you just see how some people celebrate. I was watching something with the Night Stalker and the women that were sending him nude pictures. Ted Bundy. And, like, the Manson family. It's like, what?
Yeah. Because I've seen so much real violent murders. I've seen so many homicides in my life. I look at it differently. I was in out one night, my buddies at Elaine's. And when it's, you know guys that want to be wise guys, then they're not. They talk like it, they dress like it, but they're not connected. Guys have, he's talking, he said, like, that guy needs to be whacked. He really needs to be whacked. Finally, I was like, really? You ever seen somebody whacked? I really got pissed. I was like, have you seen what it really looks like? Not TV, like, really. It's not pretty, man.
The smells, the sights.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. To see the death in someone's eyes when they've had their brains blown out. Like, you know. Yeah, let's joke about this.
Ugh. So let me get to my shovel and try to make this a little lighter. My shovel's going to go to whoever's paying Snoop Dogg. I ain't mad at Snoop Dogg at all. He's living his best life. He's being paid $500,000 per day plus expenses to just have fun at the Olympics.
I know.
We've talked about this before, and I don't dislike Snoop Dogg. I know all the things that have gone on with him. Mike Tyson's another interesting character we could talk about, and how they've kind of flipped how people viewed them years ago and what they are now. Like, a lot of these guys, those two guys are celebrated. And if you believe anything that went on in their past, they probably shouldn't be. But I like both of them. I love watching Tyson. I can listen to him talk about anything.
Me too.
But here's Snoop. I don't know if he's doing, if this was dressage or if he was just riding. He's dressed up in his gear to ride horses. You saw him at all the other events celebrating and pumping his fists. He's got his USA gear on. He's out here with old ladies holding up their fingers like, hey, yeah, rock on. And he's Coach Snoop Dogg was at the Eiffel Tower to cheer on Sarah Hughes and Kelly Chang. He said, I represent the USA. I don't even know what sports those cats play.
And then he gets to go home to Martha Stewart.
Yeah, man, what a lucky dude. This is just so funny watching him. Like, he's on a horse. Has Snoop Dogg ever been on a horse? Does anybody remember when he told everyone to call him Snoop Lion and we just said, no?
He was afraid of horses until recently.
Is that true?
Yeah, because he like doesn't trust them. So until recently, once all these people were like, no, man, like it's fine. It's just a horse.
Until he gets kicked.
I think he's wise to fear horses. Yeah. As someone who rode them for a living for a while, they're pretty powerful animals, man.
Let's
really
go.
Really are. Just quickly, I have a friend. He was police chief. He sat next to me at the academy. Great guy. But he tends to walk hunched over. We call him Droop Doggy Dog.
Love it. I love the bad nicknames we give people. Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
What up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, man?
Hilarious segment on the shovel stuff. But I just wanted to kind of jump in. And like you were saying, Jer, I think, look, I think Hyder's a damn good skipper. I think he's kind of learning on the job, too, because think about it. One of the caveats to probably running the Orioles under Mike Elias and the rocket scientist, man, is you're going to learn to adapt, grow with the analytics. And I think I'm just getting to the point of, like, where it looks like the analytics and the natural instincts from his whole life of baseball look like they're kind of colliding forces a little bit. And it's just a little wrinkly, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and Kevin, like Ed pointed out something too. So, like, this is where I was yelling at people about statistics, and I'll do the Trevor Rogers thing, for example. Like, I wasn't even trying to defend Trevor Rogers. I was just saying, at least watch him a little bit more. And if you haven't seen him, understand why they made the move for him. They've got him under control for 2.5 years. He's left-handed. His first year, he looked great. But his last 11 starts before coming to Baltimore, he had an ERA around 3. So he'd been really good for his last 11 starts or whatever.
Right.
And then he comes here and gets rocked throwing these non-competitive pitches, and then we go, okay, well, which guy is he? Is he the guy we've seen the last 11 games, or is he the guy we've seen his whole career and these past couple years have really done a number on the final line that he has as far as ERA and everything else? I'm not going to say who this is from, but I kind of agree with so much of this. Hated every damn move last night. The feel for the game and the moment is what's missing. The analytics are fine, but when you take the human element away, it fails. Also, using Soto in a high leverage spot is just plain dumb. He hasn't proven in Baltimore that he isn't the guy yet. Needed to be Perez there. I'm a big, big fan of CNL Perez. I think everybody should be. He's just fun, and he's good.
Yeah.
But and appreciate the phone call, Kev. It's a big problem to sit here and have in looking at it. And, Ed, you brought up Austin Slater. What's he hitting against lefties?
193.
So this is where I go is, okay, historically, he's been better against left-handed pitching. That's what you use him for. The Giants had him in their... He was batting leadoff in the Giants lineup for a good portion of time, or second, whenever they had a left-handed pitcher coming in against them. But like, you're going to look at some of those things going, okay, is that the guy I want to put in this situation? What are the outcomes going to be? Like, so here's my question to you. If he let Jackson Holliday and Colton Cowser hit, is he criticized this morning? Because I don't think he is. And I'm not saying that's why you managed to not get criticized. No. But like, if you'd have left those guys in and done nothing with pinch hitters.
You pitch from guys just hit a home run in that game.
Yep.
And when he hit the grand slam, he could have had three home runs that night.
Exactly. All right, we're going to talk some Ravens coming up next. Don't forget, World of Stupid. I want to talk about, we're going to get into some things that movies are doing now to try to get advertising and see if you like it or not. But we're also going to get into a bunch of other stuff in the World of Stupid. Up next, though, Arthur Millett goes down with a non-season-ending injury. How big of a loss is this to the secondary? Want to hear from you, 410-583-1057 right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.